Thank you, Charles. Glad one person's here. It's so good to see everyone tonight. I am so excited about who is here tonight. Just, I can't begin to explain to you how much I've been looking forward to this. I told him that this was going to be the best one that we've had, and he's like, I haven't started yet. So maybe I need to like hold that. But I'm a little biased, maybe. I'm not sure what else I can say about Ethan that hasn't been said. There are maybe some things he doesn't want me to say that I'll keep between us. But Ethan is just a tremendous person. You guys get a little taste of this because Adam preaches here. But it's so important to listen to God's word anytime it's preached. But it's even easier to listen whenever you know the man behind who's speaking. And Ethan has the best character of anyone I've ever met. It's easy to call him my best friend, but I don't think that does it justice. Ethan is my brother, simply put. And I'm so grateful and thankful for him and his presence in my life. You know, Proverbs 18:24 says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And that's what Ethan has been to me for who knows how long now. And as the older one, it should be the other way around, but I'm always seeking after his counsel. Ethan is my 3 a.m. friend. If I need something at 3 a.m., he is there and ready to help me out. And I wish that I could be the kind of friend to him that he is to me. Ethan is going to be speaking about Tychicus tonight, and after this prayer, the next voice you hear will be Ethan's. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and thankful for Ethan and all the work that he is doing down at Eastwood. We know that there's so many positive things that are going down there in Paris. And thank you so much for his input with all of those things. We are thankful for the support that Alyssa offers him. And thank you so much for his parents and the great upbringing that they gave him. We pray that you'll continue to bless his ministry and help him to be influential as he has been the first 24 years of his life. We pray that you'll help us to listen attentively to what is said here and help us to glean something from this message that will help us all. Please forgive us whenever we fail you, and it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Well, good evening. I'm on, right? Good? All right. I've been warned to stand down here because it gets a little hot up there in the pulpit. I was thinking about speaking in here, speaking in Bob, and I believe the last time we were having some construction done over to the building, and we had to have services over here, we also had a series then on minor characters in the Bible, if I remember right. I remember Jim Gardner, a professor from Freed Hardeman, coming to speak during that series. And I believe he spoke about Andrew, Peter's brother. And so just thinking about that, thinking about Jim Gardner standing here once, thinking about Adam and Leo that stand here now, it's so humbling to be able to stand here in the same place as these great men. And so I thank you for your prayers, for your support, for all of you helping me to grow up a little bit that we all need. And so I thank you all so much for the part that you've played in making me who I am tonight. I love seeing all these familiar faces here tonight. I love seeing all these new faces here this evening as well. That means we haven't grown stagnant, that we've continued to do God's work, and that's a wonderful thing. My dad is handing out some cards and envelopes. If you have not received two cards and two envelopes, please signal to him, and he'll get you some of those. That'll tie into our lesson in just a moment. Our lesson is living a behind-the-scenes faith. And so we're going to be looking at that through the lens of Tychicus, or Tychicus, however you want to say it. We know that we're studying minor characters in the New Testament, and so you may have never have heard of Tychicus. He's only mentioned 5 times in the Bible, and so with such a few amount of verses that reference him, the first thing we're going to do is read all of those things. So, first, we're going to address who was Tychicus. First scripture we're going to look at is Acts chapter 20 and verse 4. Please turn with me there if you have your Word tonight. This is the Wednesday Bible study hour, and so we want to study our Bibles. We want to look at a lot of scriptures tonight. Acts chapter 20 and verse 4 says, "And Sopater of Berea accompanied him," this is Paul, "accompanied him to Asia, also Aristarchus," however you want to say that, "and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia." These men going ahead waited for us at Troas. And so from this verse, we simply learn that Tychicus was a man that accompanied Paul on some of his missionary journeys. He was an associate of Paul. He traveled with him. He did the Lord's work along with Paul and along from these other men. From the wording there, we can assume that he was from Asia, what we might consider Asia Minor in our geography today. So there's our introduction to Tychicus there. Not a whole lot of information given regarding his character there. Just a simple passing mention of the fact that he is joining Paul, will be waiting for him at Troas. So let's move on from there. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Here we get a little more insight into the character of Tychicus. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 and 22. This is the closing of the letter here. Paul says, "But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, so that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts." So there are a few of Paul's epistles that are known as the prison epistles because Paul wrote them while he was imprisoned at Rome, I believe. And so this is one of those epistles. Ephesians was written by Paul while he was in prison, and so the Ephesians are concerned about him. As you would be. They're concerned about Paul's condition. So what does Paul do? He sends Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister, so that he can make all things known to the Ephesian Christians. It says, "I'm doing this for this very purpose, so that you may know our affairs," so that he can tell you of our circumstances, and that he may comfort your hearts. So we learn a lot about Tychicus here. He's traveling from Rome to Ephesus, and that Paul considers him a beloved brother. He considers him a faithful minister of the word, and he believes in Tychicus's power to comfort those who hear his words. He says he's going to comfort your hearts by the things that he has to say to you. So a little bit more insight into who he is there. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 and 9 say something very similar. Colossians is another prison epistle, and so it's very possible that Tychicus may have been delivering both of these letters to Ephesus and Colossae at the same time. Perhaps they were relatively close, at least compared to where Paul was in Rome. So in Colossians 4, 7 through 9, again close to the closing of the letter here, it says, "Tychicus, a beloved brother," again, "faithful minister," again, "and fellow servant," there's an addition, "in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me." So same mission. He's going there to tell them Paul's circumstances. Verse 8, I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. So to me it sounds like he's not just going to tell them of Paul's condition, but he's going there to learn of their condition and perhaps report back to Paul. So he's not only comforting them by telling them that Paul's okay and that he's doing okay, He's going there to learn of their condition and see what they're dealing with and help them deal with their issues and their circumstances at the same time. He continues in verse 9, "With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, they will make known to you all things which are happening here." So both Tychicus and Onesimus are going to talk to the Colossian brethren here. Who is Onesimus? Well, we know that he is the slave that escaped from Philemon, right? And Paul found him, and we have the book of Philemon about how, hey, I've found him, and he's become a brother, so receive him well. And so Tychicus is traveling with this man who's a slave, who's run away, but is going back home to Philemon, who I believe lives in Colossae, and so that's why he's mentioned here. So he is learning of their circumstances as well, not just reporting information, but receiving information, helping them through that. And then it appears that he's also somewhat of a mentor to Onesimus at this time. All right, let's go on from there to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. We believe this is the last letter written by Paul. He talks about finishing his race, how he's fought the good fight. And so it appears that he believes his time is about to come to a close. In 2 Timothy 4:12, he takes the time to mention, "Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus." So at the time of the writing of 2 Timothy, Tychicus has already departed to Ephesus and probably Colossae as well. And that's it. That's all we know from this passage. So let's move on. Titus chapter 3 in verse 12. Again, Paul loves to mention his fellow workers and his friends at the close of his letters. So in chapter 3 of Titus, verse 12, he says, "When I send Artemis to you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there." So as he contemplates somebody that he needs to send to Titus, another minister in the Lord's church, he thinks about who it could be. It could be either Artemis or Tychicus. So again, somebody that Paul believes in, relies on, just depending on the circumstances, he may get picked or not. That's just how it goes sometimes. And that's all we know. That is all the information that we've been given on Tychicus from the pages of Scripture. That's not a lot, right? We're talking about minor characters of the New Testament. That's not a whole lot, but I think we can analyze some of these verses and we can come out with a character description, shall we say, of Tychicus from these things that we've just read. So, first quality of Tychicus, I believe he is reliable, right? He is reliable. As Paul needs somebody to deliver the Holy Scriptures to Ephesus and Colossae, he picks Tychicus. As he considers who could I send to Titus to encourage him, one of the top two picks is Tychicus. Tychicus is very reliable. Let's think about Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to try to add a scripture to each of these qualities that we see in Tychicus. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 37, very simple scripture that I'm sure we have all heard before, says, Matthew 5:37, "But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one." What's he trying to say there? Just mean what you say and do what you say. When you say yes, I'll be there. If you are a Christian, you should be trustworthy enough to somebody else rely on you and say, okay, if he said he's going to be there, he's going to be there, right? If you can't, just say no, right? Just say no, given the circumstances, given whatever the situation is, I can't do that. And when I say no, that's what I mean. I've thought about it, I've evaluated it, and if no is the answer that I need to give, then no is the answer that I mean. We should be reliable in our word, and that translates to being reliable or trustworthy in our actions. I believe Tychicus embodied this principle of the Sermon on the Mount beautifully, right? When Paul needed somebody to get the message to where it needed to go, Tychicus was the man for the job. Not only just to carry the letters, but to comfort, right? To comfort the brethren. Not only is Tychicus good for his legs, where he can travel to Ephesus from Rome, but he said, who is it that can comfort these brethren? They know that I'm in prison. They might be having some troubles themselves. Who is it that I can trust and rely on to comfort them, to support them, to inspire them to continue to be Christians? It's Tychicus. It's my man Tychicus, and that's all that I need to know about it. Not only that, but he trusts or relies on Tychicus to be Onesimus's mentor, to be his escort, whatever you want to call it. But as he sends him back to Philemon, a guy who's run away before, and so he might not be the most reliable or trustworthy person, even though Paul has worked with him a lot, maybe I can send Tychicus with him, and Tychicus can keep him there, can keep him comforted, can make sure he gets home like he needs to. So, Tychicus is reliable or trustworthy. Next, he is a comforter. Again, we've already mentioned this several times. He's a comforter. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 reads, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So here's a very simple scripture about how God comforts his people. Now let's not take that to mean God makes his people comfortable. All right? That doesn't mean God provides us with couches that are comfortable. Right? It doesn't mean he provides us with situations that make us comfortable. In fact, I believe the very opposite is true. God's pushing us to be uncomfortable. We're supposed to go out there and evangelize this world that is full of sin and oftentimes hate. We're supposed to go out and talk to those people about Christ. That's not very comfortable, right? So God is not one who makes us comfortable, but he comforts us in all our tribulation. When times are hard, it's God who comforts us through those times. Not that we're comfortable, but that God gets us through those times. What's beautiful about this? Verse 4, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. All right, this isn't just a one-way thing where God comforts us and we go about our merry way. God comforts us through our problems so that then we can reach out to the other people who are having problems and show that same kind of comfort, that same kind of compassion to those people. I believe that fits the bill of Tychicus right there. He understands that God is taking care of Paul, that Paul's going to be all right through all this because God is taking care of him. And so he takes that comfort from God and he spreads it to the people of Ephesus and Colossae. He understands the comfort that God has given to him, so then he spreads it to the people around him. He is a comforter. And that is a beautiful thing, a beautiful way to give what God has given to him to other people. So, next, we have connected. I believe Tychicus is connected. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2, the last few verses of this chapter. The church has been established. The sermon has been preached. The church there in Jerusalem is flourishing, right? It's going very well at the beginning. What does this brand new, just now established church look like? Let's read verses 42 through 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So we see that the very outset of the church is that the people, the Christians, were very connected. They were fellowshipping with each other daily. They were discussing the apostles' doctrine daily. They were praying with each other daily. They were selling their homes so that they could be together daily. They were eating their meals together, right? And so the early church was very connected. And I hope that we take advantage of the fact that we're in the technological age and we get a little bit of that back, where the church is connected. Yes, every congregation is autonomous, but that doesn't mean we don't know about each other. That doesn't mean that we don't associate with each other. The church is a global entity, and we need to be connected with each other. I believe Tychicus could not have performed his job well if he wasn't connected to the church. The title tonight is A Behind-the-Scenes Faith, all right? Please don't take that to mean that if I'm behind the scenes, that means I don't need to be connected. In fact, if you're a Christian at all, you should be connected to the church. Tychicus could not have told the Ephesians and the Colossians all about Paul's circumstances if he wasn't connected, if he wasn't in the loop. He went there to learn about their circumstances, to connect with them, so that the connection between Paul and those two congregations would grow even stronger through the things that he was doing while he was there. So he was very connected to the church, and we need to be as well. Let's go on from there to say this, Abel. I've just put Abel up there because there's not really a good word for what I'm trying to say. But what I mean by that is he did what he was able to do. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Again, we're getting a lot of good scriptures in here tonight. He did what he was able to do. Did Tychicus have the leadership, the personality, the charisma to lead a missionary journey? From everything we know about Paul and what little we know about Tychicus, probably not, right? He probably didn't have that kind of leadership ability that Paul did. So what did he do instead? Well, he didn't just stay home. He joined the missionary journey as a supporter, as somebody who could support Paul, as somebody who could comfort people along the way, as somebody who could travel. Whatever he could do, he did what he was able to do. Paul was specifically selected by God to do this kind of thing, all right? And so as far as we know, Tychicus was not. And so it's not like we're shaming him or blaming him for not being a Paul. In fact, we're praising him for not being somebody divinely selected. Yet he was just an average Christian who did what he was able to do. In the same way, did Tychicus write any scriptures? As far as we know, no, you know, excluding the fact that we don't know who wrote Hebrews. Other than that, pretty sure Tychicus didn't write any scriptures. The Holy Spirit didn't directly inspire him to write any books of the New Testament. But instead of dwelling on the fact that he didn't have that ability, instead of dwelling on that, he did what he was able to do, and he was able to carry that scripture from the author to the audience. And that is a wonderful thing. And if he didn't do what he was able to do, then presumably it would have never gotten there, and we wouldn't have Ephesians and Colossians in our Bibles today. So he did what he was able to do. In Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, the Bible reads, "For as we have many members in one body, But all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. The church is made up of so many different members, and God does not expect us all to be the same. In fact, I think He expects us to all be different. That's why He's given us different interests and talents and abilities and interests. Fill in the blank. He's given us all different stuff. And so He expects us to use the talents that He's given to us. Tychicus did what he was able with what he had, and we're expected to do the same. We're expected to do what we can with what we have. I believe we all have a role in the church to fill. It's our job to find that role and fill it well. Next, let's go to humble. We're talking about behind-the-scenes faith, right? So we have to talk about his humility. If we stay in Romans chapter 12, verse 3 that I skipped over says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. I think we can take that in the wrong way if we think, well, I should think more lowly of myself. Here's the trick with humility. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking about yourself less. Because if I'm degrading myself and thinking, oh, I'm so lowly, oh, I'm not worthy, oh, I don't know. I don't exalt myself, I'm not worthy of all this that I have, of these blessings that God has given to me, whatever, I'm still thinking about myself if that's how I'm thinking, right? So humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking about yourself less. Think of all of the people in Scripture who are named or very rarely named even. We're doing minor people of the New Testament right now. And so we are thinking about some of those people. But let's think about these. I didn't check the whole list to see who you've talked about. But think about the other apostles, right? So there were 12 original apostles. Judas kind of went away. So there were 11 other apostles, right? How many of them do we see ever do much of anything? We've got Peter, we've got a lot of John, we've got some of James maybe. We don't see many of these other apostles do much of anything. Does that mean they didn't do much of anything? No, of course not. If you open the book of Acts in chapter 1, we see that Judas is replaced by a man named Matthias. Do we ever see Matthias named again in the rest of Scripture? No. Does that mean he didn't do anything? No. I'm sure he did great things after he was selected to be an apostle. Also, in the same passage, we meet this guy named Joseph Barsabbas Justus. He's got so many names. He was the second contender for apostle, right? It was between him and Matthias. They cast lots. Matthias was chosen. Does that mean that Joseph Barsabbas Justus didn't go on to serve the kingdom? No. In fact, if you're one of the top two selections for new apostle, I think you're going to go on and do great things, right? Think about Acts chapter 6, where we have the naming of the first deacons, we like to call it. We have Stephen, who went on to do a few great things, but he was the first Christian martyr, so he didn't do a whole lot. We have Philip, who we know went on to preach the word and do great things. But then we have these other men mentioned. Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas. All right, we have those other guys. Do we ever see them mentioned again? No, but they were part of the first group of deacons that was selected at the Jerusalem church. And so we know that they did great things. And the fact that they did great things doesn't necessarily mean that we've got a record of it, that we have other people recognizing them for the great things that they did. One of my favorite examples here is Luke chapter 8, when we're told about some women who ministered to Jesus. It mentions like Mary Magdalene, it mentions a few other ladies, and then it says what? And many other women ministered to him. They don't even get their name mentioned. Does that mean that what they did was insignificant? Absolutely not. What they did was important. What they did was valuable. What they did was absolutely terrific, but that doesn't mean they get their name mentioned. These people all did great things that perhaps we don't even know about, but the fact that we don't know what they did 2,000 years later doesn't mean that what they did was unimportant, right? Because the fact is that the recognition is not what made those actions important. It's the fact that they got done anyway, perhaps in spite of being recognized for them. So I think this kind of flies in the face of living a behind-the-scenes faith that we're talking about Tychicus at all. But here we are talking about him. And so I do believe that he was humble, right? He wasn't seeking mention. He wasn't seeking popularity. He wasn't doing this so that 2,000 years later in Paducah, Kentucky, somebody would talk about him. He did it. He did these things because the people in Ephesus and Colossae needed somebody to comfort them. They needed the scriptures that Paul had written for them by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Onesimus needed somebody to mentor him on the way home so that they could all be stronger Christians for it. That, I believe, is why Tychicus did what he did. All right, we got to move along here. Last one is faithful. Ethan, we're talking about living a behind-the-scenes faith. Of course he was faithful. We already know that. Bear with me. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17 says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says that he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." In fact, if faith does not have works, it doesn't deserve to be called faith at all. Faith without works is merely just belief. It's just believing in God. Works or actions are what confirm that faith, are what make belief become faith. There must be actions that support our belief, and when those two come together, I believe that is what we should call faith. Behind the scenes faith, then, does not mean believing without taking action. All right? Does not mean believing without taking action. In fact, I think it means that we are to take action, even if that means it's not up here, right? That means it means taking action even when nobody sees it. It means taking action even when nobody is going to say thank you for it. That's what a behind-the-scenes faith really is. So, again, got to move along. Tychicus, I believe, was faithful. He did put that his faith into action, and we see that. We see that everything he did was an action, right? It wasn't just, hey, I know this guy Tychicus, and he really believes in God, and that's a really good thing. We're never told that. We're told he does things, and by that we know he believed in God and that he was living out his faith. All right, Next thing. Who is your Tychicus? All right, so if we leave these qualities up there, who has been your support? Who has been the person to comfort you through times of trouble? Who has been connected to the church or helped you to be connected to the church? Who have you seen that does what they are able to do? Maybe it's not a whole lot. Maybe they're not able to do a whole lot, but what they are able to do, you know that they are going to do it. Who is a humble servant of God, who's a faithful servant of God that's helped you in your life? That's why you have those cards there in front of you right now. We don't have time to let everyone write an entire thank you note, but just at the top of those two cards, I want you to just write one name on each of them. And the first person you think of when I say this may not be your Tychicus, all right? The first person you think of may be your Paul, maybe the person who has blatantly been there in your life. But we're talking about a behind-the-scenes faith. So really give that some thought and think, who has really been there for me and never expected a thank you? Who has really been there for me and comforted me through some trying times, even if it's not the person I expected to be there for me? Who is your Tychicus? Just write two names at the top of those cards and finish writing a thank you note to them a little bit later and let them know that you appreciate them and that their hard work hasn't gone unnoticed. Yes, they've perhaps been living a behind-the-scenes faith, but everyone deserves to be taken into the light for a few seconds, right? And to be appreciated for everything that they've done. So that's just a little hands-on activity, little small thing that you can do to show the people in your life that you appreciate them. And I hope that you'll take advantage of that. So with the last few seconds here, how do we live a behind-the-scenes faith based on what we've seen from Tychicus here? All right, here we go, really fast. First, find your talents. We looked at Romans chapter 12. There's also 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where there's so many spiritual gifts that are listed, right? Some of those are imparted by the Holy Spirit. They're kind of miraculous, but a lot of them aren't, right? They're just normal everyday things that normal everyday Christians can be good at and are good at. So first thing, find your talents. Find what you are able to do. And supposedly, I think... it's supposed to be, let's say it that way, different for just about all of us. Find your talents. Then what do you do? Number two, if I'll hit it. Use those talents faithfully. Put those talents into action. I don't know what that looks like for you, but whatever those talents are, find a way to put them into action to serve and glorify God. We may say, Ethan, a lot of the things that I'm good at aren't mentioned in the Scripture. It's a technological age, like you said. I'm better with computers or technology or whatever. That is beautiful. The church has always thrived because it's made use of new technology. Christians were some of the first to use books rather than scrolls, right? And that's how the church was able to continue to develop at such a good rate, or so I'm told. I usually believe what I'm told, hopefully. So if you're good with technology and with computers, make a website, make an app, help a church run their website. I don't know. There's something technological that you can do to serve and glorify God and get the gospel out there. Ethan, I have different talents. Wonderful. That's great. That's why God gave them to you. Find a way to use them to glorify God faithfully. Number three, use them humbly. All right? We're not using our talents to glorify ourselves. We are shining our light into the world so that they will glorify God, not us. We need to use our talents humbly. Number four. I guess back there, right? Number four, use them diligently. Be reliable in using your talents. Just like Tychicus was reliable, be somebody that others can rely on for your ability. If your talent is that you have a vehicle and can drive people places, be reliable in that. When you say you're going to pick somebody up, be there on time, as much as depends on you, all right? Use them diligently, be reliable in using your talents. Last thing, don't stop using your talents when no one says thank you. That's living a behind-the-scenes faith. Again, we're not doing this for the thank you. We're not doing this so that if the world continues to spin for 2,000 more years, somebody will talk about us halfway across the world. That's not why we're doing this. We're doing this to serve and glorify God. And so the church suffers when we selfishly harbor, hoard, we might say, our talents, because no one has said thank you and we don't feel appreciated. Yes, it can be tough, but that's why we have the God of comfort. That's why we have each other to comfort us and to get us through those trying times. The church thrives when we all use our talents to glorify.